Welcome to Lead to Succeed. This is the podcast to hear from the leaders of today in various fields, from entrepreneurs to corporate directors.
We hear their stories, lessons learned and challenges faced, as well as insights and advice to become a successful and an inspiring leader.
The podcast is presented by us,
Callum
and Rebecca Jenkins, as we both believe that we all have the potential to be outstanding leaders if that's what we choose. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. And for our viewers, you're going to do a little brief introduction. But just before we kick off with that, we'd like to just kind of do a quick recap of what this podcast is about. It's for all those managers out there who are really aspiring to step up into leadership roles and to take their careers to the next stage. And that's the real focus of this podcast. So we've got Callum, Generation Z, on the podcast, and myself. We're co-hosting, and we're really delighted to have you on this podcast today, Rene. So would you just like to give us a little bit of introduction to you?
Thank you, Rebecca, for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share thoughts with you about leadership in this podcast. My name is Rene Voorhorst, and I was born and raised in the Netherlands. Today I'm 48 years of age. I like to think that an interesting fact of me is that I actually met my wife when I was 15 years of age during a summer vacation somewhere in France. And yes, she's a French person. Today we are roughly 32 years together, of which we are 20 years married. So a very long relation at my age. And we have two lovely children. I have a son that is 19 years old and a daughter that is 16 years old. Regarding my career, the past 20 years, I have worked in various sales and sales management roles for National Instruments. National Instruments is a global leader in automated test and measurement systems. And my current role is a senior regional sales manager, and I'm leading a team of key account managers throughout the Nordics and the Benelux. And together as a team, we are responsible for the development of National Instruments global enterprise accounts, which are headquartered in this beautiful region. And then outside of my work, in my free time, I just love quality time. Time with my wife, time with my children, family, friends. It includes hanging out together or traveling to places that we've never been before. I love tasting and eating great food. We enjoy touring on our motorbike, playing golf in the summer and here in the Nordic skiing in the winter. So,
well, we think you're really fortunate to have skiing on your doorstep. That's good. And very amazing that you met your wife age 15, and congratulations on your long relationship together. That's just phenomenal.
It seems I'm a guy of long relationships from a marriage perspective, but also working for the company 20 years already.
I think you had a question around working in the business that length of time, Callum, didn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just looking at your career, Renee, and when you were in, been working at National Instruments for, say, the best part of 20 years or so, I thought it was quite interesting to see kind of progressing from like a district sales manager to a regional sales manager, and then a senior key account holder manager. And I just thought it was interesting to see there must be quite a difference in kind of skills that you had to demonstrate in those different roles. Perhaps at the earlier stage it was more kind of a managerial role, and then perhaps towards in the position where you're at now it's more of like a leadership role. And I was just wondering kind of what your perspective was on how the traits that you exhibit vary between those different roles.
So I think when we talk about a manager In my mind, you know, there's a lot of managers' role. We're talking about people managers and that people that managers that have people reporting to them. And so, yeah, let me, in my eyes, a good manager is actually a leader. But what is also interesting is that a leader is not necessarily a manager at all. And what I mean with that is that everybody can be a leader, no matter what role you have, and whether that is an individual contributor role or a people manager role. I see the management part of the manager is much more operational, execution focused, and you know, this stuff has to be done being a manager as well. But the part where the leadership comes in is all about the people around them. And I emphasize on the people around them, really. It's about giving those people your trust. It's about investing your time in them and to inspire them, you know, and not just your direct reports. It really having that as a concept for everybody around you. Leaders have a sincere interest in the well-being of the people around them, in their development and their personal growth. They try to get the best out of them and maximize their potential. So leaders are really influencers, and the people around them, you know, they follow them. Not because they have to, but because they want to, and they want to be part of that leader.
It's interesting you said that, Renny, because I was reading through the answers that you gave us beforehand, and that was, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth with what you just said, that, you know, people follow managers kind of because they have to, but with leaders is because they want to, because they're inspired, they feel trusted by them, they kind of earn their respect, and so on. It's like, it's that kind
exactly.
of philosophy, isn't it?
Exactly. I think that is very important. You know, when you take to these changes, these comparisons.
Was
there a particular moment in time for you, Renee, when you felt you'd transitioned from being a manager to a leader? And you've talked about, or you've mentioned in the past to me about when you, it was something you wished you'd learned earlier on in your career about that. So I think that would be fascinating to share with the audience here.
So Rebecca, I think you know, if only I had the chance to turn back time, basically, and I wish I had realized this leadership aspect much earlier in my life, not just professionally but also personally, I would think. You know, just think about the impact that could have had on my family, on my friends, on my colleagues, you know, my customers. But, you know, on the other hand, you are where you are, and it is what it is. And I think it's actually never too late to become a leader. And then for myself, it's not until I realized what leadership really was about. And that I actually have a very big passion for people and the people around me. And when I started to invest my time in them and act and behave as a leader, I mean, it was stunning that the things that changed around me started to accelerate and things started to improve, which was very motivational for the people around me, but also for myself, of course. And reflecting back, you know, when I was an individual contributor, and I guess this is for everybody the case almost, you know, and then start to become a manager, you know, you start with doing what you know well, and that is typically the operational stuff and the execution side of things. And, you know, they got promoted because they were probably very good at it. They may even have been the best at it. But if those new managers do not figure out the leadership piece or the people piece, they probably got promoted to their levels of incompetence. And you know, they would probably have been better off continuing to invest in their successful individual contributor career instead. So yeah, getting stuck with operational and execution focus, including the behaviors that goes along with that, in my mind, is where the biggest challenge is. Things are not scaling, the manager gets stressed, starts to get involved at the task level of the individual contributors. They will be perceived as being micromanagers. They are compensating for operational and executional incompetence of their team. And they're even taking over tasks of their direct reports. This approach will very quickly be counterproductive, having a counterproductive effect, because the manager will frustrate their direct reports. The employee engagement will go down. Motivation will go down. It stops developing the employees, and that is obviously not scalable towards the future. It you're working on a status quo scenario for. So the leader instead will take much more time to actually work things through with the people. You know, understanding first, before to be understood, uses development techniques like I'm sure you're familiar with situational leadership. They trust the people that they are up for the task, and they inspire them to even push them outside of their comfort zone to realize these things. And actually, you know, they get their back when things do not work out as well. And see it as a learning journey. So for me, it was not until I really understood that it was not about me, but it was all about them. And it was not until I got really passionate about their development, their progress, their impact, and their growth. And you know what? It's all about creating a multiplier effect. And by taking this approach, I think it's the only way to grow in a sustainable and scalable way with your team. Just give it some time to think about that.
I think that's quite an interesting point, actually, Rennie, because I was reading through your answers again, and kind of you mentioned it a few times there in your answer there, but you were saying that, you know, being a manager, you're generally, well, not always, but you were saying it's kind of you're interested in about your own personal development, but as a leader, you're more focused on the people you're leading, it's their development, and it's all about them. But I imagine, kind of as a result of being a leader anyway and inspiring those other your members of your team to grow, you're also kind of pushing yourself outside your own comfort zone. And as a result of helping them develop, you probably actually develop quite a lot yourself anyway. It's kind of a byproduct of doing that.
That's the beauty of this, of going through together with them. My learning is tremendous. And you know what? I learn from all of the people around me. So yeah. it's very fortunate, but it's almost like it just happens because I focus on that.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought it was quite interesting to think, you know, as a leader, although you are focusing on other people, by nature of what you're doing, you're actually probably developing yourself quite significantly.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. So I think one of the things that we wanted to ask you next, Rennie, was obviously you've had, you know, quite an extensive career in National Instruments, and I think I know what your answer might be to this, but would you say there was a particular point in time which you felt like it was, you know, was a really difficult challenge to overcome? It felt perhaps, you know, looking at it, it was a bit like a mountain, thinking, you know, how am I going to overcome this, and kind of how did you manage it, and what did you take away from it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most difficult cases that I experienced always involved people. And the toughest one that I experienced had to do with organizational changes that we were going through. And I was involved then in making some people around me redundant. Mm. And honestly, I never hope I get to experience such a situation anymore, but I guess, you know, this is part of the reality. And there were people that I had worked with for many years. You know, I've been working 20 years with National Instruments, and they were just more than colleagues to me. You know, in some cases they were friends that I spend my time with, as well with my family. And you know, besides that, the thing that shattered me is the insecurity, you know, that starts to exist in a group when you know, I mean, information around these things, you know, starts to come out, and people asking themselves who will be directly impacted, raising emotions, probably because of these emotions, people do not get the rationale, they're not listening anymore, engagement and trust bottoming, and you know, and then you know, things become reality at the day where actually, you know, people start leaving, and their friends, their colleagues, their friends, they are leaving the business. So I really had like sleepless nights, and it personally hit me pretty hard. But I decided that I could make a difference in this situation for the people around me, for the people in the office. Even though they were not reporting to me, I felt I could still do that. And then, you know, I decided to focus on the communication, you know, make things more clear, more transparent, to have respect for the situation and the people that they are in. And really trying to set my emotions aside to deeply understand and continuously understand all of the changes that were coming at us, and you know, the next things that would happen. So it included during working hours, I actually prioritized talking to them. Talking and engaging with the people in the office, you know, over the work that was laying at my desk. And I tried to manage that outside of the time that I could be with those people. I tried to provide them the answers that they were looking for. And if I did not know the answers, I would be honest and tell them that I didn't know it. But, you know, with my relations and history, I could probably, you know, help them find these answers, if that was possible. So I committed to these things. And then, you know, I took the time for the people, both individually, if they preferred like one-on-one setting, or sometimes they would prefer like group setting discussions and facilitate some discussion there. And I think that was very helpful for the people, you know, great support that somebody was just listening and working this through with them. And then the day I had to inform some of the colleagues and friends about their redundancy was approaching. And when I was thinking about that, to me, the only thing I could think of was making this as respectful and honorable that I could possibly think of. And just like I did in the period, you know, before the day that they came. And I made sure that I came really well prepared, understanding the procedures, there was no confusion, also anticipated on, you know, on their personal situation and the questions and the scenarios that they may have and how I could best support them moving forward. So yeah, this was a bit of a dark period, as you should understand, but yeah. In the end, I think the outcome was much better than I actually hoped at that time by taking this approach. I mean, I didn't really know what the outcome would be. And we actually got through this period very, very well. You know, all the individuals that I had to make redundant, they found new jobs rather fast, and they are absolutely doing fine and thriving, you know, in the business that they are doing now. The team that was not directly impacted, so that were not made redundant, they recovered very well, and they, you know, finally they understood it, and they're thriving in our new organization. And personally, to me, very important is that even though I had to make some people redundant, I guess through the respect and the approach I took, you know, they didn't take that personal to me. And you know, today we're still seeing them, and we're friends in good terms. So when I reflect back over that period, I'm actually very happy and proud about the approach I took and the outcomes we achieved. Hands down, it was worth putting in all of the hard work, and the outcomes even compensated for my sleepless nights.
René, thank you for sharing that, because I think there's an honesty there that you've just shared with us. And as a leader, we do face those really difficult situations. And I think that is probably one of the most difficult situations to deal with as a leader. And it shows a big level of emotional intelligence that you brought to that situation, which I think is an important aspect of leadership, and really encouraging managers to develop that in terms of seeing it from another person's perspective, walking in their shoes, the impact that it's going to have on them, because that helps you to respond with empathy.
Exactly right.
That's what you were showing as you talked us through that. So thank you for sharing that. But you picked on three key things there. You said transparency, communication, and respect. Are those the key skills you're looking for when you're recruiting managers and the leaders of the future, or is there something else you're looking for?
Yeah, I think when we look at the leaders of the future, maybe I would translate that into, you know, maybe communication skills, you know, taking the time to listen actively, seek to understand before to be understood, you know, help them to make things, or customers, help the people around you to make things crystal clear, or get things crystal clear over to them. And then the ability to provide rationale, you know, I think is very important. Then the other thing is inspiring the people, around them. So I think this is almost like in many cases a natural aptitude that somebody has, the ability to create that environment, whether they realize it or not. And then people that you know, that lead by example, in you know, whatever role that is, I think that is also a great leadership skill that would be very helpful. And those three to me are a good basis also to, you know, to move forward with a management management role, so to say.
Thank you. René, how important has professional development and training been in your role?
I mean, professional development and training are essential. And I think they can have a great impact. My lessons learned, though, is that you only get out of training and development what you put in yourself. So think about the preparation before the training, your engagement during the training. And then I think most important even is, what are you going to do with the learnings after that training? I think that is the biggest contribution, actually. And predominant, you control that yourself, predominantly. The real value of the training comes when you actually get to practice it in the real world, and start to appreciate the value of that yourself. And then, you know, this then becomes your part of your DNA, basically. Another aspect is timing, I think, is very important. The timing of the training. And then ultimately, your manager, you know, whether you're a manager or an individual contributor, but your manager should be engaged in your training. He or she should be assessing and coaching you. And probably most important is just battling with you through the concepts to really get those skills into your behaviors and your system. You know, I've seen many times where training is just being thrown, a whole bunch of training at a new manager or even at a new individual contributor. And I don't think that's a good approach. There has to be a clear path that is building up, you know, the development path of a manager, and as we would do for the individual contributors. And it needs to be set up, you know, to develop their management and leadership competencies, basically.
Do you think, Renee?
So I think the development and the training that was most effective to me was actually when I had the greatest managers, i.e. leaders, because they were genuinely interested in developing, growing me as a person. They knew that this training was relevant for my development, and they pushed and supported me to expand my competencies in the areas that we focused my development around. Now, something else that I found really valuable over time is to also build a strong network to share thoughts with the thought leaders in this world on topics of mutual interest. This allows me to get different perspectives outside of my company, outside of my world, so to say. And these thought leaders are typically great coaches and facilitators and have tremendous knowledge and experience in their field of expertise. Often they are authors of books that triggered my interest. And engaging with them is typically of mutual value, you know, in my experience. And I guess this is also how we got started our engagement and relations, Rebecca. So I guess it all comes back in the end to the outcome and the value of the training being proportionally correlated with the effort you as an individual put in before, during, and after the training. This attitude has just helped me a lot in my personal and professional development.
I was just going to add to that, Rene. I think that you pretty much alluded to it there, but you know, the training, the kind of formal training, if you want, kind of outlines your kind of how you can grow, but actually implementing it into your workplace or with your team or yourself or whatever it might be is actually kind of where you really grow, or where your team members actually kind of really benefit from it, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's really taking that on. And so I think the type of training is something you should almost negotiate with your manager. But then it's all about the commitment that you as an individual, you know, whether you're a manager or individual contributor, you know, put into it to actually accelerate in that area. So hopefully the training path that you create together with your manager is one that makes sense and is relevant.
No, I think that's a really interesting point. So just to kind of wrap things up, Rene, throughout your career, what would you say would be your most significant leadership accomplishment that you've achieved, that you're most proud about, the one that you look back on and you think, yeah, you know, that was something I'm really, really pleased about?
Yeah, there's something that I'm really proud of. It's not so long ago, the last couple of years. I went with my team on a journey from what I call them being the worst kids in class regarding pipeline management. But we managed to get our team actually to be best in class, if not world class, on opportunity management, pipeline management, and forecasting, to be in full control of our business. And to enable the account managers to prioritize their highest possible business impact activities at any given time in the year, so that they can always increase their odds to meet and exceed their sales targets. So we together developed our what we call our sales execution framework that helped us to understand how sales process, sales methodology, and sales process mechanics influence each other to create the highest possible impact and value for our customers in view of sustainable, profitable revenue for us. And this journey, I guess, doing it together with them inspired them tremendously. They felt empowered and accountable for managing and executing their business. If you're interested to learn more about, you know, some of the work that we have done in this area, I encourage you to check out my blog at www.fourhorse.se/blog. And after 18 months of hard work, so for me, it's also being persistent in a development area and building those competencies and behaviors, we are now shifting our focus, not to be in control of our business, but more on the front end of the sales execution framework to try to create competitive advantage for our customers through prospecting, through mastering sales methodology, so customer engagements, and becoming world-class in account development.
That's a really good achievement. I think my mum will know that I have something to say about this in a minute, but I was reading through parts of your blog and you were saying, you know, it's all about kind of working with the client to kind of create that vision of where they want to go, not just saying, this is what we can do, here you go. It's kind of like working with them to really figure out exactly what it is they want to achieve and then delivering as much value as you possibly can.
Yeah. It's all about creating demand based on your insights for them, because you have domain expertise and knowledge about them, their business, but also, you know, the offering that you have, rather than, you know, fulfilling demand, basically, you know, just answering requests from them. It's also much more exciting, honestly, to be on that. It's more complex, but it's also more exciting, and the impact can be tremendous, a lot higher than taking the fulfillment approach.
Yeah, most definitely.
So I do highly recommend that people take a look at your blog, Rene, because you've got some very interesting structures there around key account management in particular, and I think people can look at that and learn from it. So we will make sure that's detailed in the blog, that they can get access to that,
yeah,
the spelling of your name and everything. So
and one of the main reasons that I create these articles on that blog is that I'm hoping to get in contact with people that are mutually interested in that area as well. And, you know, again, it allows me to share thoughts with them, my experiences, but also learning. There's in every engagement, there's always learning. So for me, that is very inspiring. So I hope people reach out.
I've got a question for you, which National Instruments is a very big organization. It's an American business, headquarters in Texas, I understand.
Yep.
And where does the role of entrepreneurship come into a big business like that?
So you know, at National Instruments, the sales team is seen as a very critical asset. We also have a culture that of trust and innovation, and so I guess what we just mentioned, this allows people then with the go-to-market strategy that we have as a corporate organization and the offerings that are tied around that, together with the, you know, the intimacy and the insights that we're building with our customers as key account managers, plus then the domain expertise we have in the area of test, automated test and automated measurement systems, allows us to actually be entrepreneurs, allows us to to almost, you know, run the business, for yourself. And then I think that ownership that we created through that sales execution framework makes them really feel proud on, you know, almost running their own business. And so, you know, they become entrepreneurs themselves by doing that, rather than, you know, micromanaging them as a manager would kill that inspiration that they have.
And that's a very interesting point, because very often people think you can't have entrepreneurship in a big organization. The two are very different. But, you know, I think that demonstrates that you can have that. And in a big organization like yours, that's encouraged. And that kind of treating it as your own business, or your own division, is part of that entrepreneurial positioning that you have in the company.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's a cultural thing, and then and then it's creating that that excitement and accountability, that people are really proud on what they're doing. So,
René, it's been really fantastic to have you on this podcast and to get your insights. So we've loved everything that you've shared.
Yeah, no, it's been really interesting to hear from you and your sort of takeaways and the things you said about the difference between being a leadership and a leader and a manager. You know, with the whole sort of self improvement and developing of it. I think that's been a really interesting point. I think that's something new. I don't think anyone's really ever sort of mentioned, talked about it from that angle before. Do you?
No, and not to that level of detail, and also sharing, you know, the challenges that you face as a leader and the importance of thinking it from the people's perspective, the team's perspective. You know, thank you for sharing that story. That was really important. So
yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, René, for your time, for sharing your insights, and for inspiring the future managers of today, inspiring them to become the leaders of tomorrow. So thank you for
this podcast and you know, for sharing these thoughts with me. I really appreciate it, and you know, putting some thoughts into it. It helped me also learning even more again. So I look forward for our future engagements with the both of you. Come on, come on.